You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor. But the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. And today, lots of things happening in the news. There are marches all over the world, Dave. We got marches in France. Something like a million people marched in France protesting free market hiring. And out in Los Angeles and Denver, you've got hundreds of thousands of people marching. These are Hispanics marching, protesting measures against those who've been breaking the law. What happened was there's been a whole bunch of Hispanics that have broken the law. And so somebody in Washington, D.C. thought it might be a good idea to go after people who have been breaking the law. Well, these guys think that you ought to be able to break the law and you shouldn't have any consequences for it. That's my take on it anyway. But the other march that you might have missed was the march of 50 million middle-class taxpayers who marched because they were complaining they had to spend 50% of their wages in taxes on the local, state, and federal level. And they were really getting sick of paying for other people's health, welfare, and everything else.
Funny, I didn't see that in the news.
You didn't see that? Well, it's amazing. When you get 50 million people out on the streets, it just literally floods the entire area. Unbelievable. So you've got everybody all upset. You've got people upset because people can fire them if they're lousy slugs and they don't do any work for the employers. And you've got people in Los Angeles and Denver marching because apparently we aren't giving enough welfare to illegal aliens. And then you've got people, 50 million taxpayers, upset because they have to pay so much of their taxes to government. They really think they're getting ripped off. So a lot of people upset.
I guess. And I understand there's penguins on the march. There's a whole movie made about the March of the Penguins.
Yeah, the March of the Penguins, I think a very, very good movie. And, you know, I think probably the only ones who have the right to march. In the next 20 years, folks, there are going to be some changes across this nation, and we want to talk about what is happening with all of these immigration marches going on across the Fruited Plains. The Latino teen population will grow by 60%, while the total teen population is growing only by 8%. By 2020, 1 in 5 teens will be Latino. By 2050, approximately 25% of the U.S. population will be Latino. What is going on with this nation? Dave, I think it's going to be Mexifornia in a little bit. We've got a lot of Mexicans coming across the border, and they're coming for good reason. They're coming because they want money, and that's a good reason.
They want money, they want jobs, they want health care, they want education, they want to be able to drink the water out of the tap.
Yes, they do. They do, and we go over the border and we bring our water with us. Dave, I project that California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas are going to go back to Mexico. I know that's really strange.
It's really going to screw up my quarter map with all the state quarters on it.
Yes, it's going to really screw that up. But it's going to happen. And I'll tell you why it's going to happen is because more and more Mexicans are coming across the border, and they're coming across with their worldview. Now, as they come across the border, their worldview is not changing. So whatever is happening in Mexico is going to come over to America, and it's going to be part of our culture. That should make intuitive sense to even the dimmest among us. If somebody has established a nation on a certain worldview, and their worldview produces their culture and their economic system and their religious and political system, and if they bring that economic, political, cultural system over to another country, why will this nation not look like that nation if they populate states like Texas, California, etc.? Well, I think it will. It's our worldview. The worldview we have today is going to be a lot like theirs. And believe it or not, it is looking like theirs right now. Not just because they are bringing it, but because our worldview is changing from a basically Christian worldview to a secular worldview.
I know that it's sounding like it. You can't even hardly speak English and hail a cab in Los Angeles anymore.
Yeah. Well, they're coming to this nation for the very simple reason that this nation has money. And we have a great economy. And people have come to this nation from time is immemorial because this is a great nation. We are a nation with tremendous prosperity, tremendous freedoms, and we have had this liberty for a long time. Our founders believed in liberty from big government. Our founders believed in freedom. Our founders believed in things like self-government, but unfortunately, many enjoy the fruits of liberty, but few will do anything to produce it. What produces liberty is things like self-control, God's law, hard work, bottom-up government, the free market. Now, these sorts of things do not exist in Mexico today, folks. They just don't. The free market hardly exists in Mexico. It hardly exists here. But it exists even less in Mexico. Graft is common in Mexico. Everybody knows you slip a police officer a 20 peso to get out of trouble there. They've been doing
20?
That.
It's 20 pesos?
Oh, it's 20,000 now. I'm sorry. I forgot about inflation. But this sort of thing's been happening in Mexico for a long time. There's very little self-government in Mexico. The free market is a joke. Graft is common there. And the reason is because their worldview is bad. It's bad. The way that they believe they ought to live life in Mexico is not according to the principles of God's Word. Outside of whatever a few missionaries are doing across the border right now in Mexico, there's very, very precious little spiritual life going on in that nation. Ladies and gentlemen, folks are coming here for the money, but the money is not going to last long because we are losing our worldview. When they get here, they might get a little money, but they don't get the right worldview. We're going to talk about the Mexican immigration in just a moment. We're going to talk about what they are getting when they move to America, and we're going to talk about a worldview that we need to recreate in this nation, and that next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
You are listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Kevin Swanson talking about immigration and talking about the root issues today. Notice we haven't yet said whether or not we ought to open the gates and bring all of the Mexicans in. But what we have said is that the worldview in Mexico is bad. Not that the worldview here is that much better, but the worldview in Mexico is really a highly paganized, highly syncretized religion. It's hardly Christian there, Dave. It's highly superstitious, highly paganized, and for the most part, you do not have a Christian influence in Mexico. For the most part, it's just not there. They tend to be very socialistic. They tend to have opened up the floodgates to rank humanism and the Marxism that came out of Karl Marx, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and others from the 1700s and 1800s. Mexico has been ruined economically and politically by a very bad worldview, folks. But I'm not sure our worldview is much better. When they get here, when the Mexicans cross the border and get to the United States, it's not as if their nuclear family improves very much. You actually do have something of a strong nuclear family in Mexico. I think that could be traditional. I'm not sure why. It could be because the public schools there haven't ruined the family as they have here in the United States. But once they get here, you still don't have a strong family value among Mexicans. In fact, we have complained a number of times, Dave, about the fact that 36% of children, poor children, born into this world, are born without fathers. And it's a terrible thing that 36% of children born in hospitals across America today are born without fathers. But I tell you what, Dave, it's not much better among Hispanics. Hispanics, Mexicans, 42%. Central and South Americans crossing the border, 44.8%. Puerto Ricans, 59.1% of these little kids are born without fathers. That is devastating. That is ripping apart the family, the fabric of the family among the Hispanic culture, and this is not a good thing. That should be obvious.
It is obvious. It is obvious that the family is being torn apart and that it's no better amongst the Hispanic population than it is amongst the white population. But I wonder which is the disease. Is America the disease or is America the diseased?
The worldview is the disease, and the worldview has infiltrated families in Mexico. It's infiltrated families in America, obviously. You have the devastation of the family across America today. And I think a lot of it has to do with our socialist system. Our worldview has abandoned biblical principles. It is ripping apart the fabric of the family. Our socialist system provides these folks with health, welfare, and education, sucks out of them the will to work. A country like ours worked really well because it provided opportunity, not the corruption of welfare. What does welfare do? It takes away the will to work. It erodes the fabric of the family. It takes away the value of family and church. We used to rely on family and church, Dave. When things got tough, we went to family and church. And what do we get in family and church? We got accountability. We got responsibility. We got connection. We got relationship.
relationship. But the socialist welfare state has sucked the life out of that, and the family hardly exists anymore. When fathers see the family provided for by welfare systems, I'll tell you what happens. He gives up his God-ordained male responsibility to provide for that home. It sucks him of his masculinity. It sucks the Hispanic male of his masculinity, and it sucks the white male of his masculinity. The welfare system has been corrupting to the American. I think it's just as corrupting to the Hispanics that come over the border for it. You know, I don't think things are getting that much better for Hispanic families that come over here. Maybe economically, okay? Maybe they're improving their condition economically. But you know what? They get over here and they find their families segregated. They find themselves adopting a bad worldview in the public schools where they're not taught the fear of God. You know, they assimilate into a culture of rebellion. Look at this picture of these Hispanic teens marching, or they're protesting, waving Mexican flags down the streets of Los Angeles. But you have these guys have gone to public schools. They learned the culture of rebellion. They look rebellious. They act rebellious. They don't submit to their parents. They don't see a need for honor of father and mother because the entire culture doesn't propound an honor for father and mother. They learn the bad things. They participate in a culture where 42% of Mexican gals give birth to children without fathers. You've got the gang problem. A lot of Hispanic young men join gangs because, remember, the father has been derelevantized in most families across America, or in a lot of families across America, especially in poverty-stricken homes like these guys, where they get hooked on welfare. So you've got the family coming apart. This is not a good situation for the Hispanics. I'm not sure they improve their case as they come over here. But let's just talk about immigration. We'll go back to immigration and talk about the principles engaged here. The first thing I want to say is that we're all immigrants. So it's not bad to bring immigrants into this nation, and we all ought to admit to that. Immigration is part of this nation's heritage, and I believe it ought to continue to be a part of this nation's heritage. But secondly, the second thing that ought to be said is we are losing our national identity. There is no longer a cross-cultural denominator as there once was. That is, there isn't something that we hold common. We're losing that uniting fabric for this nation. When you've got Hispanics marching over here, you've got white Anglo-Saxon males marching over here, when you've got, you know, this interest group over here and that interest group over there, you've got the homosexuals, you've got the Christians, you've got this, you've got that. You've hardly got a cross-cultural denominator, which at one time was a Judeo-Christian value. You go out and you survey folks across America, just a wide swath of folks, and you say, what is the cross-cultural denominator that brings us all together? You know what? There is not going to be a common word that is used in any vocabulary in this mixed soup. We hardly have a cross-cultural denominator anymore.
Some people have said we've gone from the melting pot to the salad bowl, where everyone retains their identity and gets kind of stirred up. But I don't even think that's correct. I think what we've done is we've lost our history. We've lost our forefathers. We used to be united in our history. We used to study the farewell address of George Washington. That was a school requirement. Now we can't because it's too religious, gives too much honor to God. Hispanics don't come over here and study American history. They don't become part of this nation because they don't become part of its history. They don't go plug into the past. And when you don't honor your fathers and your forefathers, you become a scattered nation.
And that's exactly the direction we're heading, folks. We're heading towards a separated nation, not a unified nation. The other point that ought to be made about immigration is that illegal immigrants break the law. And if illegal immigrants are going to break the law, what does that say about the character of the people that are coming here? I mean, I don't think you ought to allow illegal immigrants to stay here. They ought to come in according to the restrictions of the laws that govern this state. They ought not come over here and immediately break the law. They really ought to be deported if they're going to come over here and not live by the laws by which this nation is governed.
Well, we had a few hundred thousand people who were in Los Angeles the other day marching for not being able to cut illegals away from the state welfare. They couldn't be separated from the great nipple of the state, and yet they were illegals. These were people who were breaking the law,
saying, give me, give me, give me. I wanna, I wanna, I wanna. Not only are they breaking law, the people who hire them are breaking law, the people who aren't enforcing the law are breaking law. There's a whole lot of law breaking going on
here. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. The other principle that ought to be maintained, according to, I think, biblical principle, and that is that we ought to defend our borders. This is essential to Romans 13. God has instituted government for the purpose of defending us from the evildoer. That's real plain in Romans chapter 13. That's the purpose of government. And if our government is not carefully monitoring our borders, and we're allowing any Tom, Dick, or Harry, or even Amin over the border to do whatever Amin is going to do here in America, we've got a serious problem. And so I think it's essential that we have strong borders, and we have INS officials that are monitoring those borders, because that is really the first line of defense, especially in this age of terrorism, Dave.
Kevin, there's not a real substantial difference between a bunch of people coming, say 12 million people coming over your border in army uniforms and forcing their culture on you, and 12 million people coming over illegally and bringing their culture upon you. You must defend your borders.
I'm not saying that we ought to cut the borders, cut out all immigration whatsoever. The Bible talks about not vexing the stranger, not oppressing the strangers, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. He that kills a beast, he shall restore it. You shall have one manner of law as well for the stranger as for the one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. God is clear, I think, in the Old Testament especially, that we treat the stranger with respect. We allow him to trade, for example. He comes over here, he works, he trades goods and services with us. I think there ought to be stricter requirements retained for actual citizenship, but there ought to be some trading of goods and services allowed with those who come over to work. However, this does not mean that immigrants come over here and then act like they are citizens and begin taking the benefits of citizenry, as in sending their children to public schools, receiving all of the bennies of our nation, all of the services, all of the welfare of our nation, and voting in many cases. Illegal immigrants are allowed to vote in lots of cases, or forcing themselves upon the system. I've been here for 10 years. I married somebody here. I have 3 children. Why can't I be an immigrant? I know I've been illegal for the last 10 to 15 years. That ought not to be tolerated. At all.
It ought not to be, but of course there's political pressures to bring those in, because they are repopulating the welfare state. Our country has been so successful that welfare was almost unneeded. And those people who have a vested interest, because they get reelected and stay in power because of voters who are on welfare, they need people to come in and repopulate the state. Otherwise, the whole dream of socialism could collapse.
Ladies and gentlemen, the immigration issue on Generations Today, and I want to say that the immigration issue is not the central issue. What is destroying this nation is not immigrants. It is not Hispanics. It is humanism. It is the godless, materialistic, man-centered humanism that is rotting our culture and destroying our families. It's not directly the immigrants that come across. It is the way that we think. It is the way we teach our children not to fear God in the science and history classes in this nation. Fundamentally, the only thing that will make this nation a blessed nation will be to fear God and keep His commandments. It's going to be recognizing that God exists, and God is important in our lives, and God ought to be worshipped and served. We stop doing that, whether it be in Mexico or in America, we're going to destroy this nation. 75 years from now, Dave, what is this nation going to look like? Are we going to be a nation full of Mexicans, whites, Native Americans? Who cares? Ultimately, who cares? What I care about is whether we fear God or not. Are we going to be an economic famine 75 years from now? Will we be another communist experiment? Will we be a bunch of cannibals or pagans with tattoos and running around joining gangs? And oh, I guess we do that right now. Will we be governed by the Chinese? What will this nation be like in 75 years from now? What determines that will be the faith that we share with our children right now? Our children need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so do the Mexicans that come across the border. They need to hear the full-orbed biblical presentation of what to believe about God and about His Son Jesus Christ and how to live according to God's laws. They need to hear that. They need to know that. And if they've got that worldview, if our children have that worldview, then, ladies and gentlemen, we will be living on a God-blessed nation 75 years from now. But if we will abandon the principles of God's Word and we refuse to fear God and teach our children the fear of God, there will be hell to pay. This place will be a hellhole if people refuse to walk with God. I think it boils down to what we teach our children. The beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. Are you teaching your children the fear of God as you sit in your house, as they study geography, as they study history and science? If you don't, your children will be learning the wrong worldview. And the Word of God says, if you don't build your life on the teachings of Christ, then one day when the storms come, that house is coming down. And I'm afraid that's the direction this nation is heading, folks. It's because we have not been teaching the fear of God. We've been building our houses upon the sand. When the rains come and the winds blow, that house is going to come crashing down. Start with the wisdom of God. And that wisdom is the fear of God. That's why I wrote the book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Get a copy of this book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. By calling 877-842-CHECK. I believe this is where we are going to begin to build a country, a nation that will serve God a generation or two from now. Educate your children the right way. Call 877-842-CHECK and get a copy of my book, Upgrade. You can interact with the program by emailing me, host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. We're talking about the real things, the real issues that make or break the way that we live. Join us again next time, won't you, as we lay down a vision for the next generation.